I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. We have our Friday features for you. Later in Faith Matters, we note that this is an election where people are already talking about religion and race. There are not one but two African-American candidates in the mix, and not one but two candidates who belong to The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the Mormon Church. We caught up with a married couple who are Black and Mormon to hear how they are sorting things out. And guess what? Even they don't agree. We'll hear more of what they have to say in just a few minutes. But first, in our political chat, we want to talk about not one, but two grassroots movements that seem to be having an influence on American politics right now. We're about a month into protests by a group known as Occupy Wall Street, and the demonstrations have spread far from New York to Boston to Oakland, California to Nashville and Atlanta, not to mention overseas. And as that movement have grown, some have begun to compare that effort to the Tea Party. That's the conservative grassroots effort that's become a powerful force in the Republican Party. For example, many observers attribute the GOP takeover of the House in the midterm elections to the energy and organizational skill of people associated with the Tea Party. And because both groups say they are frustrated by the status quo and want to change it, some people are asking, why don't they get together? That's a question that Rich Harwood asked this week on his blog. He's the founder and president of the Harwood Institute for Public Innovation. That's a nonpartisan organization that says it works to identify and support people it calls public innovators who will then work to create hope, change, and progress in their communities. Harwood recently wrote on his website about the shared beliefs he sees between the Tea Party and Occupy Wall Street, and he said that the country might benefit if those common values were explored. So we decided to do just that by bringing together Rich Harwood with two guests who've been on the program before from both of those movements. Shelby Blakely is a citizen journalist and coordinator for the Tea Party Patriots. Also with us is Kyle Christopher. He is a freelance photojournalist and a participant in Occupy Wall Street. I welcome everybody to the program. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Now, as I mentioned, each of you has actually been a guest on the program separately. So for people who didn't hear those conversations, Shelby, I'll start with you and just ask you, what attracted you to the Tea Party movement to begin with?
Well, the Tea Party movement has three core values of fiscal responsibility, constitutionally limited governments, and free markets. And I like the idea of dictating actions based on principle as opposed to circumstances.
Okay. So do you think you have anything in common with Occupy Wall Street?
I believe that we are looking at the same problem, but from two vastly different angles. Occupy Wall Street is looking at the government money in the corporate world and assessing the need to punish the corporate world for having that money, while the Tea Party is looking at the government that's actually handing out that money, and we want to turn off the faucet of money flowing to Wall Street. That way we don't have to worry about which banks or which corporations are getting the money because it's simply not being offered.
Okay, Kyle, what about you? What attracted you to the Occupy Wall Street movement to begin with, and do you think you have anything in common with the Tea Party folks?
I was probably attracted to it more just to begin with, just from a standpoint of the ability for so many different people to have so many different viewpoints on so many different things. And I like the ability for each person to basically be able to branch off in whatever way that they choose. As far as having something involved with the Tea Party, I think that Occupy Wall Street does have a similar mindset in the way that it may have started out the same way, but not, I guess, ended up the same way. I would say that maybe there was a bit of co-opting that happened with the Tea Party movement. I find that Occupy Wall Street so far hasn't had that problem and hopefully will not in the future.
Rich, let's turn to you. Why do you think the two movements have something in common? And what do you think it's important for them to talk about together?
Well, it's interesting, Michelle. I don't know if, well, there are certain principles that both have in common. They're both grassroots efforts. They both believe that ordinary citizens ought to have more of a voice. They both believe that government ought to be accessible to people. But beyond that, what I would say is it's less about what these two movements have in common than when you strip away the slogans and the banners and the positioning. My experience has been in engaging people across the board politically that they share common aspirations about their communities. They share common aspirations about wanting to make progress to improve people's lives. And if we can suspend, I'm not saying that there will always be differences between groups in our society. The question is, if we want to make progress at the community level, I think there are lots of opportunities to demonstrate that we can rebuild trust, that people can get together and do things. and that, frankly, we can restore our faith that we have the ability to get things done.
So your argument, your idea here is really not so much that this would be a national conversation. I mean, for example, the four of us are in four different cities, right, as we're speaking. Is your idea that this would be more of a community-level, neighborhood kind of conversation?
Well, I think that, I've been going around the country engaging Americans in probably 10 communities recently on these issues. And what I find is at the community level, those who support the Tea Party, those who support Occupy Wall Street, when they actually start talking about their communities, they actually do find common ground. For instance, they both believe that we need to improve our education for kids. They both want to work on issues around vulnerable children. They both want to come back into the public square and reclaim some of the power from government, who they see across the board as, in some cases, intruding too much. So, yeah, I think there's an opportunity here. And I think at the national level, we have to figure out what are those places where we can agree to start to make progress and know that we're going to keep arguing for some time. Mm-hmm. We're in an impasse in the country. It's going to take us a while to get through that at a national level.
Our guests are Rich Harwood of the Harwood Institute for Public Innovation, Shelby Blakely. She's a coordinator for Tea Party Patriots, and Kyle Christopher, a freelance photojournalist and a participant in Occupy Wall Street. We're exploring an idea that Rich raised on his blog this week of whether or not the Tea Party Patriots and Occupy Wall Street protesters have more in common than perhaps they might first think. And so, Shelby, I'll go with you. What about Rich's point? I mean, you said, well, the Tea Party Patriots, for example, has a message on their website this week, really rejecting the idea that they have anything in common with Occupy Wall Street, who they accuse of wanting less of what made America great and more of what is damaging to America. And you're explicitly you've talked several times on this program about your core goal here is an end to crony capitalism, but really smaller government, you know, overall. Do you see any common ground there?
Well, the problem is that the Occupy Wall Street movement, their solution is to increase the power given to government to be able to confiscate the wealth of the, quote, top 1%. Our goal and our principle dictates that less government should be in place, but that big corporations who should have failed because they mismanaged their funds, they should have failed. And new banks and new companies could have come along and picked off their assets and created things with less corruption and less crony capitalism. Mm. Because if you cut off the spigot, if you cut off the money, the taxpayer money that flows to these corporations, if that money is truly keeping the corporation afloat, as was in the case of Solyndra, that would have failed without my children's money and my grandchildren's money, because we are currently spending 40% more than we take in.
Okay, what about Shelby's point? Her argument is that Occupy Wall Street is mainly preoccupied with redistributing, the wealth, that the real solution here is just to make government smaller. What's your take on that?
As far as that respect is concerned, I would say that we probably have more in common than I think that Shelby lets on to. I mean, look, it's not – we are not here from – at least from my perspective, for more government. And I think that that's almost a little funny to me coming from that angle, because in my experience being down here on the ground, that is not what I've found is that we want in any way. Like more government intervention, especially in terms of like a corporate finance situation. I think that as far as capitalist, expenditures and stuff like that is concerned, our major point of contention is that we want more corporate responsibility that doesn't necessarily have to be regulated by the government. And I feel like, unfortunately, that's kind of the spin that's been taken on this entire thing, and it's not true.
What is it that your group wants? One of the criticisms of Occupy Wall Street is that people aren't really sure what it is that they do want, whereas the Tea Party Patriots, or the Tea Party group in general, and there are many Tea Party groups, it has to be said, do have a central organizing theme, which is smaller government.
I mean, honestly, great. Let them, mm-hmm. take their time, or not take their time, excuse me, to get to their point. I mean, mm-hmm. Let's say we're a month old in our small movement that we've started so far. To really try and like put a point of a point of process down and say, well, what is your demand so far? You guys don't seem to have any demands yet. I think that that's a little unfortunate to just kind of like rush us ahead and just be like, so guys, what's your point? Why are you here so far? I think that that's not exactly the reason that we came down here, and that we as a movement, and again, I can't speak for a movement, I can speak for me, we are our demands. And I think that that's really important to note. And I think that all this like rushing for people to say, you need to get to the point, it's not fair to kind of push that ahead. And I think that that's a real media spin that people have just been like begging for us to do, because they don't know what other angle to push anymore.
Rich? I think that's actually very interesting comparison and highlight differences between the Tea Party and Occupy Wall Street. When the Tea Party was a month old, we did have a cohesive demand, and that demand was stop spending money. That was it.
Rich, I'm going to give you a final thought before we take a short break. We're going to come back with all of our guests in a minute, but Rich, you have about a minute. Where do you think we should take the conversation next?
Well, if we track this conversation since we began, much of it has been about drawing distinctions, pushing different groups into a corner to declare their demands. You know, when I talk to people in the country, they see both these groups as positive elements because we've lost trust in government and there's some outrage and anger in the country. But what I also hear across the political spectrum is what happens after the outrage. And what people want is to come back into their community and rebuild trust. They believe it has to happen at the local level first because that's where the country is. And there are lots of things. Let's just take Shelby's point about smaller government. There are lots of things around education and vulnerable children that people believe are community responsibilities, not necessarily the education system. And we find that across the entire political spectrum.
Well, why don't we ask some of those questions when we come back? Rich, why don't you think of a question that you might like to ask both Shelby and Kyle when we come back? And Shelby and Kyle, if you have a question you want to ask each other, why don't we do that after we take our break? Does that sound good? Everybody? Okay.
Thank you.
We're exploring the possible similarities between the Tea Party and Occupy Wall Street movements. It's our political chat today. Our guests are Rich Harwood of the Harwood Institute for Public Innovation, Kyle Christopher with Occupy Wall Street, and Shelby Blakely of Tea Party Patriots. We need to take a short break, but when we come back, we'll have more with all of our guests in a moment. This is Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm Michelle Martin.